Ladies and gentlemen, what's up? What's happening? This is Coach Coop, and I am joined by Chris Albert. Chris is a good friend of mine, and tonight on BHB Radio, he is going to share his story, which is, by the way, one of the most inspiring that I think I've ever heard in my own circle, and that's that he was a homeless veteran who actually turned his life around to become an internationally recognized trainer and a thought leader in the veterans space. Chris actually is a podcast host in that community, and he helps veterans and everyday people around the world optimize their life, talk about health and wellness, so on and so forth. It's a really good show, and I highly recommend you guys check it out. In addition to that, we are going to get into things like health and mental health, nutrition and mental health, sleep, ways to optimize your lifestyle, Chris's supplementation recommendations, and beyond. And also how to be flexible with your approach to health and wellness too, which I think is always valuable to hear for long-term sustainability. Of course, tonight's episode is brought to you by Real Ketones, the leaders in the exogenous ketone space and the pioneers too, while we're at it. They have a full vault of resources, everything from nutritional plans, apps, guides, and a whole lot more. All you have to do is check out realketones.com. All right, everybody, without further ado, let's get to the show. Good evening, everyone. This is Coach Matt, and you are listening to Better Health and Body Radio, your source for the latest and greatest information and understanding in the world of health, nutrition, and performance, where we give you a seat at the table next to the best and the brightest minds to arm you with the information you need to optimize yourself. Join us for another exciting, thought-provoking episode of BHB Radio, starting now. All right, Chris, great to see you again. I appreciate you sitting down, and welcome to the show.
What's up, my friend? How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Never better, honestly. It's kind of funny. Things have kind of come full circle. I remember, and I tell this story often to the Real Ketones family, but you and I were at the Coachella for Meatheads. That is the Olympia in Vegas. And that convention features a whole bunch of nutritional supplement companies. And you came up to me with a little, almost like a space package looking thing in your hand, and you're like, hey, no one knows who these guys are, but I think this might be the most innovative company here. And of course, that little packet wound up being like one of the very first ever prototypes for exogenous ketones. And then I tried it, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? And then I start, you know, anyways, from then on out, I was in a rabbit hole, and here we are now having you on the show. So I don't know if you remember that, but it's funny to be full circle, like, I don't know how many years later, 7 years later.
Yeah, I remember it well. I saw those guys, and you know, I was walking around that place. You know, when you go to a trade show, particularly in the fitness realm, so many companies are just kind of copies of each other. I mean, they all have kind of similar supplement ranges. They all kind of have similar products and things like that. And at that time, that was the only thing that seemed new, you know, and I tried it, felt great afterwards. And, you know, it kind of energized me because I was tired and the whole place smelled like protein farts. you know, and it was a great product, still a great product. Those are great guys. So.
Yeah. It's interesting too, how it's like now so much more research has come out around it. Whereas like you and I were sort of trying this new prototype thing, and it's still comparatively speaking to something like creatine or, you know, a vitamin D supplement is still very much new. But since then they've looked at a lot of different studies as with things like reaction time, anxiety relief. And it's almost like kind of like a supplemental superfood in a way. So it's funny how after that, things like the Tim Ferriss podcast and so on. And so all these different other entities started talking about exogenous ketones, and the wave had not even come close to cresting yet for mainstream sort of influx of keto at that point.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. I mean, you have these ketone esters that are out there now. Before I got into doing what I was doing now, I was looking at patents and trying to purchase patents and things like that. But like, there's so much innovation going on in this area that it's almost hard to keep up, honestly. I mean, like, it's kind of like the tech boom's moved into nutrition. I think that, you know, when I first started doing a keto diet, I was in the bodybuilding community at the time, and everybody looked at me like I had three heads. And
I remember
yeah, and people were like, you need carbs, you need this, you need that. And then, you know, I started doing it and slowly started talking about it and things like that. And I take absolutely no credit for spreading the word because I never developed much of a following. But like, I think about then and now where it was like me and a few other people who were talking about it, and now everybody's doing it. You know, it's
Oh,
all
yeah.
over the place. It's hit popular culture. And it's just funny how things that are on the fringes, so to speak, can take center stage, you know.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, for those of you who don't know Chris, we just sort of dove right in and do a formal introduction, but well in a sec. I actually bought Chris's ketogenic, it was called the ketogenic diet. It was like no pictures, no frills, no BS. And it was one of the first really pieces of literature out there, especially, you know, when everybody and their mother has an ebook now. It was one of the first ones out there. And I learned more from that than almost any other source out there at the time. So yeah, just to kind of credit where it's due, you were one of the first out there just spreading the word again. I know. So yeah, all that just to say is, you know, I look at you as, first of all, you know, I was, I think, one of your first remote clients, but I look at you as like kind of, you know, an influencer with integrity in this space who I've kind of modeled a lot of my life after in a work sense, right? I always look at you as something like a health, wellness, and fitness anthropologist, where you were just open-minded and you spent time in the general fitness slash physique, bodybuilding realm, whatever you want to call it. And then you've since moved away from that and just been open to trying new things. And for those of you listening at home who are not familiar with Chris and his work, Chris has actually then taken a lot of this knowledge and then distilled it in a highly practical way to the veteran community and really made a huge positive impact on the health, wellness, well-being of many, many, many veterans and other everyday people who follow him too. And that would be through Warrior Soul, right?
Yeah, that's my podcast. You know, one of the things I'll say is that when I got into the fitness industry, I started by opening up a gym, right? Along with my good friend Eddie Avakoff down in Long Beach. And the gym was Metroflex Gym in Long Beach. It's now a pretty well-known gym. There was a lot of pain involved in that because didn't have much money at the time, and really couldn't. I spent like 3 years making like $500 a month and living off of that, and then you know, ended up having to give up my shares because of personal reasons and things like that. But it was a very difficult time, but it was also an amazing time because, you know, if you remember the people who were at that gym and coming to that gym, and you know, we had people like CT Fletcher there, Mike Rashid, but then you also had Tom Platz coming in every day to do a workout, you know, retired, you know, not bodybuilding anymore, but just having Tom Platz there and being able to talk to him, or having, you know, the late great John Meadows coming in to do a photo shoot, or guys like Rich Piana, or you know, Frank Medrano, or you name a person in the fitness industry, they came through there. It was just a really great place to talk with people, to meet with people, to bounce ideas off of people. And you know, a lot of my thought came from watching these athletes and watching people go about their diets and wondering if there was a better way. And then the other thing that informed it for me was the fact that I have autoimmune disease, ulcerative colitis, which has, interrupted my life in numerous ways. Not, it's a disease I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But, wanting to be in strength and be in bodybuilding, but also having a disease where my immune system was attacking my digestive tract and not being able to tolerate the amount of protein that most bodybuilders took. The more I researched keto, the more it seemed to be a good solution for myself and others who suffered from similar problems. And so, I did it, got great results, and continued to not necessarily follow strictly, but continue to use the principles to manage myself in my new life, which is as a businessman and podcaster. So.
And it's funny you say that because I think when you kind of take the principles of what we're talking about here, it really applies to not just athletes and fitness enthusiasts, but also weekend warriors, busy professionals, things like that. It's like everybody at every level of rung on the ladder is an athlete, right? Or kind of an adaptable organism. And it's like some of us are just starting out, we're real low on that rung. Some of us are higher, and it's like you can kind of scale the approach of keto to whatever level you're at, and like you said, it doesn't have to be strict. In fact, flexible is probably better, but there's a lot of aspects of a flexible or fat adapted metabolism that are going to benefit people who just want to improve their fitness, and also other other aspects that are going to improve things like your happiness, your stress relief, and things like that too.
Right. And I think so many people, one of the mistakes I saw a lot of people make is that they just try to overcomplicate everything, checking their ketones all the time and going on these super, super strict keto diets and, not necessarily having the knowledge they needed to make sure that they were getting the electrolytes, the minerals that they needed and things like that. But I think that one of the things you could do is you start off simple, right? And rather than maybe jumping headfirst into ketosis, maybe start by removing some of the sugar from your diet. And then, you take a look at some of the other carbs that are in there and maybe, adding some fats to your diet. And then, slowly, gradually, as you learn more, implementing a few more things and see how you feel. I think that fat adaptation is not an easy thing to accomplish. But if you do things in a way in which, you're toying with yourself, you're experimenting with yourself, and you're not necessarily jumping into, zero carbs, minimal protein and tons of fats, then, you'll give yourself a better chance of success, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the longer time you stay in it, the more you can kind of tinker with it as well. I mean, we had Louis Villasenor from Keto Gains on here, and he was talking about how, he flexed the diet by saying, all right, I'm going to increase more protein on there. And, I don't want to get lost chasing ketone levels over, just my own internal feelings, my health, my wellness, my results. And that's his one of his slogans now is chase results, not ketone levels. And it's not to say he's devaluing the myriad of benefits from ketones. It's the opposite. But what he's saying is make it easy on yourself. Keto is a transient state. You're gonna have fluctuating levels of ketones depending on your activity level, how well your body's utilizing them, so on and so forth. So just know that if you're spending some time in a ketogenic state through some iteration of fasting, some days of, lower carbohydrate, things like that, you don't have to always try to stay in that one spectrum there. And I think that kind of empowers it to be more of a lifestyle that's scalable for the long term and also approachable for a larger number of people, whether it's someone who has an autoimmune condition like yourself, an everyday person just trying to transform their physique, all the way to certain athletes,
Well, yeah, and I think one of the other issues we see in the fitness industry, and I quite honestly don't pay much attention to the fitness industry these days, but at least when I was you know, neck deep in it.
Probably for
one
the
of the
best.
problems, what was that?
Probably for the best.
Yeah. One of the problems I saw out there was that, you know, most of the practitioners, the trainers and the online personalities, you know, they're not working Joes, you know, they're not out there working every single day in a 8 to 10 hours a day or 8 to 12 or 8 to 16 hours a day, putting in a hard day's work. They're in the gym. They're, you know, waking up, they're drinking their green smoothie, they're taking their Instagram shot. And then, you know, they're maybe doing a photo shoot every now and then. And then they're spending the rest of the day on the computer trying to create programs for people, right? Or maybe they're not creating programs for people. Maybe at worst, they're cookie cuttering them out and, you know, making tons of money off of that. And I think that one of the things that I realized back then, and one of the reasons why I wanted to, you know, maybe adapt my message and adapt my, my media toward the veteran community, was because, I wanted to help real people who had real problems. Mm. I wasn't trying I stopped trying to create things for the biohacker who was going to have everything at his or her disposal. Right. I wanted to create something that would help somebody who was in a bad state get to a better state. And so that's why I turned my attention toward, you know, creating a podcast for veterans. And I don't only talk about fitness, I talk about a lot of things, but fitness is a huge part of, I think, living a happy and healthy life. And I think that veterans deserve that, you know, as they approach the civilian lives and they should look toward their bodies as a way of living this life to its fullest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on that note too, I think veterans provide kind of an interesting demographic to look at, just because there are certain aspects or certain challenges they face that other people may not. And you could talk about whether, I mean, you know better than I do, but we could talk about during deployment versus the transition stage later. But one thing I always found it interesting that you would bring up is just sort of the pile of Franken food and junk food that consists of what you would call an MRE. And this is like supposedly the nutrition we're feeding some of the most important people in the population doing some of the most important jobs. So can you unpack that a little bit and how, you know, what is an MRE?
First, I'll say this, MREs do their job, right? Their job is to provide calories for people who are, you know, moving about, right? Not attached to a lot of resources or anything like that. And you know, quite honestly, I think they do that job pretty okay. The issue comes about because of, you know, what you get in there. It's a lot of very difficult to digest food. And anybody who's ever eaten an MRE and then gotten up the next morning will tell you that. It's very hard to pass anything once you've eaten one. I think that, but it's not only the MREs, it's the lifestyle in general. I mean, you're out in the field, you're in proximity to lots of explosions, to gunshots and things like that, whether you're training or out in combat, your brain's getting rattled constantly, your body's getting torn apart, right? You're literally carrying loads of you know, 80 to 100 pounds on your back. You are, when you're not out in the field, the lifestyle is, for a lot of military members, lots of drinking, not a lot of sleep, and, you know, you're go, go, go a lot of the time. And a lot of time it's go, go, go to hurry up and wait and sit on a pack, right? So you do that for 4 to, you know, 20 years, however long you're in, there's going to be a price to pay for that, right? And what we've been seeing, and my good friend Andrew Morris talked quite about a bit about this, is, you know, in some of the high level operators and also in the line unit infantry, we're seeing a lot of guys who are dealing with hormonal issues as they hit their late 20s, early 30s, and on into their 40s. Where the brain is not producing precursors to testosterone, to growth hormone or anything like that. there's a large percentage of veterans who also suffer from autoimmunity or dealing with gut health issues. And one of the things I think that needs to happen in the community is that more veterans need to pay attention to the basics, right? Making sure they're continuing their exercise regimens when they get out, making sure that they are eating properly, and also, taking care of gut health and taking care of their musculoskeletal systems. And I think that, the conversation about PTS and the conversation about traumatic brain injury largely has been centered within government circles around medications and around mental therapy. And don't get me wrong, medications are great. They can help. So does mental therapy. But also, I think there needs to be a conversation about fitness and nutrition if we're actually going to solve these problems at the root cause.
So you said a lot there that I think is worth looping back on. So if a certain amount of the job is going to come with some less than ideal stressors, right? And obviously, you've talked about this, I've talked about this. We've learned our own lessons in this way. But stress can drive health issues themselves. So if there is going to be a certain amount of being woken up in the middle of the night, a certain amount of being exposed to less than ideal conditions stress-wise, do you think there's a way that people can not put fertilizer on that or kind of stoke the fire by eating like such inflammatory foods and maybe eating in a way that's healthier for the nervous system and brain and not going to cause neuroinflammation?
Well, I think let's go to the easiest possible thing, and that's, trying to sleep more when you can, right? I just had Dr. Kirk Parsley on my podcast, Navy SEAL who went on to become a doctor, and now he's one of the foremost experts on sleep. One of the things he looked at when he created and ran the Naval Special Warfare Resiliency Clinic is that he had seen that these guys aren't sleeping. Their hormone profiles were horrible. Blood work was horrible. And we're talking about high performers in their 20s and 30s, right? And you change the sleep, you get people to sleep more. That is going to do them a world of good, right? Then, we go on to things like nutrition, right? And maybe it's not going out there and weighing every ounce of food, right? If you're in the military, you're not going to be able to get, organic grass-fed beef liver, right? You're not going to be able to get organic vegetables and things like, just not going to happen, right? But what you can do is start to cut down on the sugar, and you can cut down on the beer, and you can cut down on tobacco products, right? You can make sure that the food you are eating is easily identifiable, based on the ingredients and not some, concoction of things that were put together with a bunch of chemicals. I still think you have to eat some of that stuff while you're in the military. Like you're not going to get by without, eating something that might seem like junk food. But you cut that back a little bit, and maybe you add a little bit more vegetables, a little bit more protein, and you add a lot of water, drink tons and tons of water, and you pull back on the beer. I'm not saying put the beer down for good because you're young and you got to live your freaking life, right? But you cut back on it and you don't get blacked out drunk all the time, right?
I mean, and those are all sensible things, and I think that that's also important for people like you and I to, tell people, especially people who are just starting out, is that, I think practitioners or people who've been in the space for a while get caught up. What's that next little, 0.5% or 1% improvement I can make? Meanwhile, the people that are ultimately listening to us are ones that haven't even made the wholesale changes yet. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
And one of the things I actually appreciate about the military and the Marine Corps and the Army and what they've done over the last few years is they've actually changed the fitness regimen quite a bit. I mean, it's less focused on the long, steady runs and things like that, more in favor of high intensity interval training. You're seeing a lot more strength training going on in those circles. And I think that's a good thing, right? Because the body hormonally doesn't do well if you're going to put a bunch of junk in it and then, you know, tell it to run long distances and things like that, right? It just doesn't in the long term. So, you know, you change the training regimen a little bit. You add some better nutrition and you take care of yourself in your off time, you're gonna be in a much better place than a guy who's not sleeping on the weekends, who's playing video games all night, who is drinking tons, and then going out and tearing your body up in the field, and then, you know, just doing steady runs for fitness.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's interesting too, kind of on a couple notes. You know, with some of that long-term endurance training, it really is hard on the body. And I'm not telling people not to do endurance training if they're listening and they love it. You know, that should supersede anything if you like it. But the human body just was not meant for endurance type work. And I also think there's a certain element of degrading your fast twitch muscle fibers and a lot of these neurological reflexes that you know, and everybody's really dependent on, but especially in the case of the military, I mean, you literally have to have your system operating on a hairline trigger sort of pull system. So I think there's a certain amount of degradation that can occur with the wrong kind of training. So it is encouraging to hear that they've done more positive things there. On that note, too, I don't know if you've seen some of the more recent research that comes out that's came out to show that exogenous ketones can improve reaction time by as much as 10%, which I think would, you know, would be huge if you're talking about a population that, you know, fractions of a second could be life or death, depending on the situation, you know.
Right. And
Obviously, you think.
that would be great, I think, you know, for some people. I also think that, you know, exogenous ketones, as great as they are, they're also expensive, right? And I think that a lot of these guys aren't going to spend the money on it either. You know, do I think it would be helpful? Absolutely. It'd be great if the government even, you know, started investing some money into it. But like, I want to make sure that these guys understand that you know, you've got everything you need within yourself. You know, as far as the series of chemical reactions that can occur to put you in a better place. Doesn't need to be full on ketosis, but you can help yourself to get to a better mental state, a better physical state, and a more endurance state, through, you know, just a series of actions and the food you're putting in your body.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, what is like the sort of supplement guidelines or access that people in the military have? Can you bring in some of your own stuff? Is there really no access to that? Does that
Oh
obviously depend if
yeah.
you're deployed or what's that like?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know, one of the things I mean, there's definitely supplement stores you can go to. They sell supplements on base and things like that. They're not issued or anything. But one of the things you could do is, if I were to supplement, I mean, I'd be focusing on the things that are going to help protect, right? Like things like N-acetylcysteine, right? Which, by the way, is harder to get right now because, well, of that word I don't want to utter right now. Amazon's made it a lot harder to get it, but it is out there on the internet available. It's NAC, a precursor to glutathione, helps with cellular turnover, can really help with brain and liver function. You know, making sure you get enough vitamin D, right? Make sure you get enough vitamin K2. You know, vitamin D is extremely important to the body, responsible for so many functions. K2 to help reduce calcification. You know, making sure you're getting things like fish oil, right? So important for brain health, and so important for reducing inflammation. You know, those basics there, just doing that will get you a lot, right? I think that, you know, there's probably a bunch of others I could talk about, but you know, I think those three in my mind are the ones I'd be focusing on.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think that there's, as someone who has helped people in, we'll call it kind of like that tactical population and everyday people, I think what's interesting too about all this stuff is that people don't operate, like these things don't operate in silos, right? Like something that's going to improve your nervous system or your mental state, nutritionally speaking, is not just going to be exclusive to athletes. It improves your reaction time, right? It's also going to carry over to an old woman if she trips, falls, and like has the reflexes to catch herself, right? Because she has a healthy nervous system. There's not a lot of neuroinflammation going on there, things like that. To add, as far as like working outwards for with essential supplementation, I would add electrolytes to that for sure, some type of mineralization, because you need those to carry out cell baseline cell to cell function, neuron communication to and your synaptic wiring. All that stuff is dependent upon your hydration levels, both from a quality water perspective and from an electrolyte perspective. I think vitamin E, because it can help vacuum up a lot of estrogen that we might get in from non-organic foods and things like that. It's sort of like a Zamboni for that. And in a population like the one we're talking about today, if you do have to eat a certain amount of quote unquote BS, I think those are two that I would add to that. On top of that too, I think that collagen protein is going to be really important for not just the immune or some sort of bone broth, gelatin, things like that. Not just for the immune system, but also for the brain. That's we're also talking about things like high stress populations, traumatic brain injury potential, things like that. Collagen has shown some very neuroprotective qualities in that capacity. And then I part of why I like exogenous ketones for the veteran community is because of a lot of the work that Dr. Dom D'Agostino has championed with regards to being a neuroprotectant. And obviously, go a lot of different ways with that, but I think mental health, like reducing anxiety by 40%, like a recent study showed, and then also, just resiliency to stress and injury to the brain and nervous system, I think makes them pretty intriguing for that crowd. There's a couple other big supplements that I'm forgetting right now. Magnesium, glycinate, I think being one of them, and there's one other one, but yeah, it is interesting. I didn't know that they had access to that while you're in service.
I mean, you can get access to anything. I mean, because you could order it, right? I mean, we live in an amazing age where you can just go online and something could be to your door whenever, right?
Right, Chris. So one thing that I think has, thanks to people like yourself, has been put in the limelight a little bit more is the difficulty in transitioning that a lot of veterans have back to regular life, if you will. And obviously this is a multi-layered thing. It's involved. You could look at everything from like therapies to work differences and how the life whole life as a whole and work is set up and all that. So I don't want to sound like come across like I'm being a little bit overly simplistic or myopic here, but both in the case of veterans and for everyday folks, I do strongly believe, and not just believe, I mean, it shows like there's a lot of research to support this, that you can eat and treat your body in ways that can either help your stress, anxiety, and traumatic disorders, and there's also ways in which you can make them worse. So are there any things, whether it's meditation or like, in maybe inflammatory foods to avoid, any advice that you tend to give people who are in high stress situations to like really help at least give them the physiological or biological foundation to feel good?
Well, like if we're talking about veterans and in transition, trying to figure out what trying to figure out civilian life, I think that the primary advice I would give them is not to avoid stress. There's going to be this temptation to try to when you get out to go and do nothing for a bit. And I wouldn't do that. I'd get right to work. I would go get on with the next mission. I'd have a plan for what you're going to do before you get out. I would immediately try to implement that plan. Even before you're getting out, I would figure out what you want to do for a living, what you want to learn, what you want to try, and I would start those wheels turning, maybe even, a year and a half, 2 years before you start to
to EAS. I really, really think that's important. The other thing, PCS, I'm an idiot. But the other thing I'd say is, you know, don't drink. Like, just don't. Like, I've got a history with alcohol, and nothing good has ever come from me getting blacked out drunk. And I think that there's far too many of us in this community who maintain the drinking habits that we had when we were in, when we got out. And I'm not trying to sound like a puritanical asshole. I'm just telling you from experience, it's never led to anything good for me. And it's never led to anything good for a bunch of people in our community. And it's depressant, and it's going to make you feel like shit. Maybe not in the immediate term, but it's going to make you feel like shit in the long term. So, you know, and I'm not telling you never to drink a beer or never to take a shot, but, you know, do it in moderation. Then I would say, you know, lose every, you know, preconception you have about civilians and start getting around civilians who are good people, right? Start, you know, trying to find productive people, try to hang out with them as much as you can, learn from them as much as you can, approach them with humility, because you definitely got something you can learn from them. And, you know, try to get around high performers. Try to find people who are in executive positions. Try to find real estate investors. Try to find people who've done well for themselves, and try to learn as much as you can from them. And so those three things, I think, are really important. As far as food and nutrition and exercise, it's more of the basics, right? Don't kill yourself out there in the gym every day. Don't kill yourself with exercise, but make sure you're moving. Make sure you're lifting the weights, right? Make sure you're getting your heart rate up. Make sure that you're eating good food, right? With identifiable ingredients. And you know, try to get away from the sugar and all the chemicals and things like that. I mean, just basic stuff, man.
Yeah, well said. And what I like about that too is that people of all sorts who are dealing with stress, which, you know, if you look at the statistics, there's really kind of a mental health epidemic and an anxiety epidemic, you know, it's really as high as it's ever been, through not just the veteran community, but just it's ubiquitous in society these days. And it's multi-layered in a lot of different ways. But I think with nutrition, you know, as far as fundamentals, some things that I tend to recommend for people are like I tell people to look out for things like wheat and gluten, and you don't have to be a celiac, because really only 1 in 100 people are. But, you know, I always joke that, you know, everybody's intolerant to junk, even if you're not intolerant to gluten. And if you talk to a lot of artisan chefs, they'll tell you that they use way more gluten, which is a texturing agent, protein, in wheat products than they used to. And also, there's a high amount of pesticides, glyphosates, things like that in there that cause these, what a lot of people potentially mistake as a gluten sensitivity might just be simply being intolerant to pesticides and things like that. So because our nervous system is linked to our gut, I just can, you know, both in the research and in personal experience working with many clients and colleagues experience, can tell you that, you know, it can put you in a different headspace and make you a lot more stressed out and heady when you're eating that kind of stuff. And another big one that I think you actually taught me, Chris, was industrial seed oils and polyunsaturated fatty acids. A lot of those, like, you know, canola oil, soybean oil, vegetable oils, peanut oils, they actually are like, you know, the term you used was metabolic poison. And those can actually cause a, like, they can get stored super easily as fat. And when you then go to burn that fat through activity, it actually causes a sort of like a storm of anxiety and stress reaction hormones to be liberated as well. So I think that, you know, making sure you're getting healthy saturated fats in, which have been demonized in the mainstream, those actually terminate stress reactions in the body. And those polyunsaturated fatty acids, or PUFAs, those those vegetable oils, they actually amplify them. And I think that's an important thing to look at for people and their mental health stress.
I agree with that 100% and fully endorse that. One thing I would say about the gluten and the junk food, don't eat it all the time, but every once in a while, make sure you do. Right. And there's a reason for that. And it's because, you know, you never know what kind of situation you're going to get put in. You might have a situation where you have to eat McDonald's, and or you might be in a situation where you have to eat gluten. Right. And one of the things that we want to be is we want to be adaptable. And if you're going to get sick after you eat one of those things because you never eat it, then that's probably not a good thing. Right. And so, you know, don't eat those all the time. But every once in a while, you know, make sure you go have a cheeseburger, make sure you go have a slice of pizza, make sure you have some gluten pasta and allow your gut bacteria to get used to those kinds of things in a way that's, you know, you're not going to get sick if they're introduced to your system.
Yeah. I think a lot of people actually do that with things that are that they think are negative, but are actually positive too. Dairy being one of them, you know, it's actually really important to keep dairy in your diet. And a lot of times, like what it looks like a dairy allergy is actually a result of, like you said, either just avoiding it for so long, you kind of have an enzyme deficiency. And also it's usually a canary in the coal mine for you having like a lack of energy in your cells, AKA in your whole body to fuel things like digestive adaptability, your immune system, hormones, you know, so on and so forth. So a lot of these sort of lighter allergies for less common things like eggs or dairy is really that. And I also would agree with you that, you know, another friend of mine, Tor, who's a veteran of the health and fitness space, you know, he actually really echoes what you say. And he says, you know, I like to just test my system out every now and then to remain adaptable. He's like, I don't eat this stuff 99% of the time, but here and there, you know, and he usually just, it's not like he's sitting in a lab, like testing himself out. Literally, he's like, he's out being social. He's like, yeah, I'll have that. Because he does enough of the fundamentals and lives his life in he treats his body well enough the rest of the time to where he can do that. And also, like you said, there's probably something to be said about staying adaptable there. And it'd be really interesting to see kind of some more research come out on that note. But hey, Chris, 100%. I want to be respectful of your time. For people, you know, whether it's everyday people, veterans who are listening, where can people go to find out more about you?
Yeah. Check out the Warrior Soul podcast. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or you can go to our website, www.warriorsoulofgoji, that's AGOGE.com. And, you know, I'll say this, I don't have a damn thing to sell. I literally don't. I probably should. We've got some t-shirts and things like that. But I the only thing I do right now outside of my day career is, you know, I publish podcasts for veterans and anybody else willing to listen to help them to live their best lives. And most of my content right now isn't about fitness or nutrition. If you want some of the goodies, the classic goodies for that, you can go to the Warrior Soul of Goji YouTube channel where I put out tons and tons of content years ago about my take on fitness and nutrition and my experience with bodybuilding and things like that. But I don't produce much of that content anymore. Most of my life outside of work is dedicated to help veterans and people, you know, live their best lives. I've interviewed people like Robert Greene, the author of the 48 Laws of Power. I interviewed Eddie Gallagher, the Navy SEAL. I've interviewed Gary John Bishop, author of F Yourself, don't want to curse here. You know, a lot of really great guests. And a lot of times I'm surprised that they even, you know, wanted to come on my little podcast. So it's been an awesome experience. And if you're not a veteran, you get just about as much out of it as if you were.
So. Yeah. I was going to say, as someone who's followed you for years and years and years now, I mean, anyone can benefit from the content you put out. you know, just like they can from this show. And it's Warrior Solid Goji on Instagram too, right?
Yeah. Yep. Warrior Solid Goji on Instagram, on Twitter. I'm at Warrior Soul Gear. Find me there.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, man. Great talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to having you back on, hopefully at some point. And all right, everybody. I always love getting a chance to catch up with Chris. He's an old friend of Gary, Rob, and I's. I've learned a ton from him. Hopefully you guys found a lot of great nuggets to pull from today's episode as well. And I will see you next time here on BHB Radio.